Blog Talk Radio.
Perspective on the inside of someone else's life. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. We spell was with a Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is 646-727-3279. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those of you who have heard this show before, and for those of you who may be listening for the very first time, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. Co-hosted along with the one and only Miss Oatmeal Brown with the Realness 101, we're broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area each and every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And we want to say because of you, the callers, the listeners, the bloggers, our show just gets better and better and better each week. And as you're going to find out, tonight will be no different. Today is Wednesday, February the 9th, 2011. And this is going to be one for the ages, ladies and gentlemen. We're still in Black History Month. For those of you all who know about the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we're just wrapping up the tail end of a fantastic Super Bowl weekend. Now, it was ice cold out there, and they did some slipping and sliding, had a great game. Big shout to the Green Bay Packers for doing their thing and representing. I can't front y'all. I called the Packers way back in September, so I feel pretty good about that. There were some celebs in town, some wannabe celebs, and probably some people who can't even spell celebs in town showing up for the big event as well. So we did our thing. Dallas, Texas represented for the whole nine. And this is just going to be another show, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to represent as well. I'm very intrigued about tonight's topic. As you know, for those of you all who listened last week, we did a show and had the men step in and show up to talk about the top 10 stereotypes of black women. And we did our thing. You know, we had the men step up. We had Greg from D.C. Man, I want to give a big shout to Greg out in D.C. because he stepped up and he said what was on his mind. That's what the show was all about. We kept it real. And they called from all over the country. And it's tonight you're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have our callers and our listeners call in from all over the country as well. So make this a part of your everyday Wednesday routine because the online happy hour is here to stay. If you've tuned into the link and you're online, go ahead and look at the link and follow us on Facebook. We're going to be doing some fantastic posts later on. But as you're going to find out, you can follow us on Twitter. You can watch us on justin.tv/howwasyourweekend, also spelling was with a Z. Due to inclement weather in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we will not be viewing and being streaming live on justin.tv, but get ready, pour yourself a good drink. You're here on the online happy hour, and it's just going to get mannish and get bad. Now, I'm going to take a back seat. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to relax, and I'm going to let the ladies step up and have their turn because the men showed up, and they showed out last week. So it's only right to have the ladies represent. I know y'all been holding it in and been wanting and wanting and wanting, and now tonight you're about to have it. So I want to let you know Miss Oatmeal Brown is going to be ready and doing her thing tonight. Miss Oatmeal, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Andy. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. I took a deep breath because we went over these topics, and I got to say, fellas, if you're listening tonight, do a little pacing, suck in your pride, because the ladies are going to represent and open up about the stereotypes of the black man. Now, I got to let you know, fellas, you may have to take some of this personal. Some of it may not really apply directly to you. But if you can look at yourself in the mirror and see some of these things, it might be a reality check. So tap your chest, pop your gut, and be ready to open up and listen with an open mind. Miss Oatmeal?
Yes, Andy. You know, and I would like to say that this is not a bashing session, you know, towards our black men, because we love our black men, as we know that they love us. And, you know, it's just, these are just general stereotypes that we're going to be going over tonight. Nothing is, you know, concrete, you know, that points out towards all men, that all men are like this. There's no all men or dog type stereotypes. It's not like that. And we don't want it to be received that way. We just want to be heard, you know, in a real way. And these are real things. Just like, you know, we heard the men last week speak their piece, speak their mind, you know, and they're all pertaining to their own particular situations. And some things are, you know, going to be on a common ground. But in no way, form, or fashion do we want the men to get angry or mad. And just as you spoke, hey, if it does apply to you, these things can all be changed. You know, the How Was Your Weekend Blog Talk Radio is about listening and learning. So we don't want anyone to take offense tonight.
Absolutely. I would thoroughly agree.
And we love you because, you know, there are a lot of you out there that are doing big things, doing good things, trying. You know, you have ambition, you have goals. We see you. We know you, you know, and we love you. But there are some out there that lack the knowledge of, you know, really not wanting to fit these stereotypes, but are fitting these stereotypes. So that is why we are here to talk about them. And these aren't 10 stereotypes from back in the day. These stereotypes are for now. 2011. These are our top 10 stereotypes of black men. So let's go. Let's get started.
Oh, boy. Here we go, fellas. I want you to, fellas, join me in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/how was your weekend, spelled was with a Z. Go ahead and get your profile set up. We're going to be in the chat room. We're going to get off, and we're going to just go ahead and just let the ladies have the phone lines tonight. So for those of you all who are calling in, the number 646-727-3279. Ladies, when you're ready to speak, go ahead and press number one on your phones, on your Blackberries. We'll get you on the line and let Miss Oatmeal and you digest and dissect the top 10 stereotypes of black men. Miss Oatmeal, go ahead and let it be known. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, again, these stereotypes are not in any particular order, but these are the top 10. We're going to go ahead and get started with our number one on the list, top 10 stereotypes of a black man, is that they're unreliable. Women have started to feel like we can't totally rely on our African-American males without a price. And I'm going to go further into that. You know, what happens when we cannot rely on you, some of us will take on different tactics. One of the tactics is our make-a-man tactic, and I'm pretty sure that some of you know females out there that do this. You know, they have one man out there to do several different men to do several different things for them because they cannot rely totally on one. And when we speak about relying on our African-American men, it's not just on finances, but just for anything that we may need that we feel that a man could help us with. I mean, that could be moving a couch for us or, you know, changing a tire or going with us to take our car to be checked out. anything of that nature. Maybe we want to seek some type of business advice from you because we know that you have it. Sometimes we feel like these things come with a price. You know, if you're a male and, you know, you have an attractive female friend, but she may need your assistance. Every time we come to ask for this assistance, we don't want to feel like, okay, he's going to want to have sex with us, he's going to start flirting, he's going to expect something back from us by asking and seeking your help as a man. It has become more and more prevalent in these days and times. I have experienced it myself, and it shouldn't be a sense of, it should be a sense of, okay, she needs me. My African-American woman needs me, whether she is your girlfriend, whether she is your homegirl, we need you. You are needed, but we don't want to feel like it's always going to come with a price. And I know men sometimes say that, you know, they don't like these super independent chicks, these independents that are so independent and say they don't need a man for anything. I bet you 9 times out of 10, this is what happens. If she goes and she seeks some type of help, it's always coming with this price. And we're just there to seek leadership, you know, some type of wisdom, some type of help, you know, from a male perspective or with that male strength. So, Andy, do we have anybody on the line that would like to elaborate on that tonight?
Absolutely, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a caller out of Dallas, Texas, Ms. Rayshawn, who's ready to chime in on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi,
I just want
to.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. But you know, you made some valid points right there with a man not being reliable. Now, let me just say, as my caveat before I start speaking, that there are a lot of black men out there that a lot of women, not just of black descent, can rely on to come through, be that 100%, be that lawnmower man, that maintenance man, that financial man, that I'm going to adore you and romance you man. But in most cases, that's not equal across being involved with a black woman. So with that being said, as she said, you got to kind of make a man, you know, like robo man kind of set up. You really do sometimes have to make a man. And it's not that you're being outside of a standard where you're a woman of integrity and you sleeping around. No, not at all. But you have a man that you own a home. He'll come through, mow your lawn. You have another friend that, you know, he's really digging you, but he has ABCD qualities, not quite right. But, you know, he looks out for you in ways where he is like, okay, sister, you know what? I got you right here. And it's not that you're looking for a handout. Let me just make that clear. And then you have another man that says, you know what? I see you had a bad day. I'm going to come rub your back, rub your shoulders, run your bath water, and not expect anything. But where it does not become what she's talking about is when they have, they're unreliable, but they got expectations. They're unreliable, but with expectations. Okay, I can't depend on you for not nothing, but you expect booty at the end of the night. I can't depend on you for anything, but you expect, you know, to get some food when you come to my house. That's, I mean, what am I getting out of this? I can't rely on you for anything, but you can rely on me for all other things. But you got all these expectations, but mine don't get met. So I really vibe with you right there.
Yes, and it's becoming a relevant issue that we really want to get out there and want our men to know and be aware of. You know, hey, either take it as, okay, we're coming to you because we need you, you know, don't take it as we're coming to you to use you, because if we ask you for something, obviously we need it, and we want to be able to rely on just one of you and rely on our African-American males, you know, to help us and be there for us and lead us in the way that we're choosing to go. Okay, thank you, Ms. Rayshawn, for your input on that first stereotype that we spoke on tonight. Our second one is that they have become very animalistic and hypersexual. And what we mean by that is it's just sex, sex, sex. In videos, in music, in social environments, and even at work. You know, we as women understand, you know, that males love sex, but the amount of discretion and respect in waiting has decreased. You know, you can meet a man on and the first day, the first night, or wherever you meet him at. It can be, say you're at a bar and you're talking, you know, oh, so what are you doing after this? Oh, yeah, okay, can I come over, or can I come over tomorrow? You know, I see you looking real sexy today at work. You better watch out before I bite you. You know, some things, you know, are, we can take, you know, but some things can become excessive. You know, there should be some discretion and more respect. Yes, there are females out there that put themselves out there like that, maybe by wearing provocative clothing all the time and, you know, coming past you and rubbing you across your head, or, you know, rubbing up against you or what have you. But don't get that mixed up with everybody. You know, there's a line between, you know, real respectable women and, you know, women that just really don't care and they're just out there like that. You know, we shouldn't all be grouped together. There should be a certain level of respect that should remain. You know, hold yourself back a little bit. I know it's kind of hard if you're physically attracted to her or what have you, but, you know, that creates animalistic behavior. I know that word is kind of strong, but, you know, it is what it is, because it's like, you know, you're gawking like, oh, I just got to have it. You know, that's just what's on my mind, you know, immediately. I mean, what about what's in her mind, what's in her head, you know, besides just being so concentrated, you know, on the physical and the outer and just so quick to, you know, express that you want to interact in some type of sexual behavior. And do we have any callers on the line that would like to expound on that, Andy?
We do. We do. I want to go ahead and mention what's going on in the blog. For all my people listening, we are opening the chat room tonight at blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Spell was with the Z. Because we have two in the chat room, and I want to bring this to your attention before you move forward. You have one young lady that made a pretty funny comment. She says that the woman is not ready for her real man if she has multiple men around. And then you also have a young lady that asked a question to you, Ms. Oatmeal. How does putting a guy in the friend zone make her a tease or unavailable? And she says, just because she doesn't want you doesn't make her a tease. Interesting.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and comment on the first blogger who she said a female is not ready and she has to make a man. Well, we're talking about being able to rely on our African American males to help us. And you might have a friend, as Rayshawn spoke on, that will do anything for you, but there's some pretty, you know, there's some qualities that he doesn't have there that are very important, and you're not interested in being in a relationship with him. But just because you're not interested in being in a relationship with him, does that mean you don't ask him to come fix your fence because you need help? because you don't know how to fix the fence. You know, if you know that he knows how to fix the fence, do you call, you know, Julio and Hector and spend, you know, $500 when your friend does this and, you know, you can pay him $300 or $200? What's wrong with being able to go to your the friends that you know that you're not even having sexual relations with, or you don't look at them like that, but they may look at you like that and say that, you know, hey, we're in the friend zone, but they may, that may not be the case. Do you just not ask for any help? Or do you,
wow,
can you, you know, do you just not ask your brothers for any help at all? I disagree. I'm going to continue to go to my brothers and ask. I don't care what they say, you know, or what kind of category they try to put me in, I'm going to continue to ask, because if I go ask Hector or I go ask Bob, they're going to have something to say about that. So, you know, that is my, you know, my take on that view. Now, there are some females who make a man just because they're running them, because they want this for that, they want this and that, they want this and that. You know, they have men out there lined up to help them and have no good intentions. They're just using them. And there are some that aren't. Everybody shouldn't be placed in that category.
There you have it, ladies. I hope y'all are listening and taking heed to this tonight. BlogTalkRadio.com/How Was Your Weekend was with the Z. Miss Oatmeal, we have someone else on the line here out of Dallas, Texas that wants to chime in. She goes by the name of Miss Ophelia, and she's on the line right now. Miss Ophelia, we feel you, baby. Come on and talk to us tonight.
How you doing, Ophelia?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm older. I think I'm maybe a generation and a half past the listeners, but I think that there are a couple of things that a young lady has to look at when she is expecting a man to be reliable. First of all, the generation gap has changed us drastically on the things that we take important and the things that actually frustrate you. But if you're in a one-on-one relationship, and I mean that from not a male bashing or a female bashing perspective, is that if you are in a relationship with one man, one lady, he should be everything that you need him to be. I mean, if the yard needs mowing and he don't know how to mow the yard, I would expect if he was my son-in-law, he would have the money to pay to get the yard mowed. You wouldn't have to call somebody else. Or if you say you're coming on time, be on time. Call, I'm coming. Make that woman and that relationship the most important thing that you do. If you want to be in a relationship with that person. Now, if you just playing, you just playing. But that person, that woman has to be able to depend on, because if y'all going to be life partners, I don't care what it is. If you need a new couch and he can't afford a new couch, you should be willing to sit on that couch until he can buy you another one. You have to commit. And if you're just in a friendship zone, as the young lady said, a friendship zone, keep it in friendship. Friends don't do everything for each other. They don't do it all. And men see things differently. When we're looking at it and we want a man to do these things for us, We really, life is give and take. They expect something of us, and we expect something from them. And if we put it out there on the line first and give that person an opportunity to participate in the level and the capacity that they're willing, I think that a lot of our frustrations will be soothed, because you know what is expected of you. You know what you're not going to do. And if you're in the friend zone, you'll stay in the friend zone, because we got an imbalance in our relationships of when we get cute and we dress up and we want you to mow the yard. Are you really, you really want me to mow the yard or paint the house, or do you really just, what is it that you want? And we have to set our boundaries and let the men know what we expect of them and for them to have the courage to come back and tell us what's really expected. So to be reliable, what are we really asking them to do? Well, what do we really want them to do?
Well,
I see that from a different generation, from a point of being in another generation. And, you know, just in the family members and the young people that I'm around, the vibes that they send off on what they want and what they want to receive is mixed.
I agree.
And I'm a nervous wreck because I know people are listening to my voice. But I do see that. I see that a lot. We sending mixed signals. And sometimes the guys don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And the ladies don't know what to ask for.
Well, I agree. There are situations where mixed signals, you know, have been put out there when, you know, you are saying that you're in the friend zone, and it may be some signals that don't say friends, that may say more than friends. And, you know, when I speak of being reliable and then being unreliable, is that's just the case. More men are not just being cool. You know, everything that you do for the opposite sex does not have to be at a price, or, you know, oh, she's going to give me some, or I'm trying to be more than the friend zone. You know, times have changed. You know, back in the day, they were more reliable. You know, I'm not going to say that.
If a man said he's going to do something, he did it.
Right.
Or a man's word was his bond, his handshake was his valor. I mean,
correct.
But a lot of it's not the standard anymore. They've gotten too far away from it.
Right. So it really is, it should be the standard, but we have gotten away from it, and that's why stuff, you know, things are just, you know, so out of whack. And
so does the phrase "make a man" give any validity to that point? Because if it's not the standard, say out of 10 women, 8 of them have a standard and 2 don't, then is it the responsibility of the lady to make the man? I mean, just point blank say, this is what I expect of you, and this is how I expect for you to conduct yourself with me in a friendship or in a relationship, and then set the standard and hold to it. So does that give validity to make a man? If they really getting mixed signals from 8 other women, and then you have 2 that set a standard, so how are we are really, I don't mean to be chauvinistic on the flip side of the coin, but women really are the leaders. We're the leaders in this, and if we set our expectations out there and hold to them and give the man the opportunity to live within that boundaries of expectations, does that constitute the make a man?
Well, I'm not going to say that it constitutes a make a man, because leadership, people have different opinions on leadership these days. And I'm still going to put it back on the man, because when you start to talk about, you know, holy matrimony and being married, it is he who findeth a good wife. It's not a flip, okay? And we were here to be his helpmate, and he is to lead. So, I mean, that is why we have another stereotype that we're going to move on to here shortly. But, you know, just to touch on it, that is why the ratio is different. There's so many black women to 1 black man. So why should he have to, you know, be this reliable man when he has a plethora of choices?
Exactly. He has 8 who has a different standard than the other 2.
We've got to put it back on him. We've got to put it back on him to, you know, be a reliable, even though you've got, you know, Josephine over here who's throwing it at you, and you have Tracy over here who's, you know, giving you mixed signals, and then you have, you know, Ophelia over here who's
straight up, you know, real and about the standard. Ophelia can't change that, and it's up to the man what he wants to do. It's not up to Ophelia. I mean, she can put it out there on the table, but she can't change him. He's going to have to want to do it on his own. She can't change him. She can put her standard out there, but she can't change him. Well, we would like to thank you for your input. It was very valuable, and, I mean, it was a good word, and I hope that, you know, the men out there heard you and received, as well as our women that are on the line tonight.
Okay, you have a good night.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Andy, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I am here, and this show is getting pretty interesting. Miss Ophelia had it on point. I appreciate her for calling in. If you don't mind, I'd like to go back to the phone lines, and let's take it out to North Kakalaki. And, you know, just talk about, you know, the next stereotype to Miss Melissa Graves, who represents the whole entire East Coast. Stand up and stand out. Melissa, are you there?
Here. How's everybody doing?
Hello, how are you, Melissa?
Great. I don't want to be redundant and go over any topics since I'm just kind of stepping in with you all. But maybe, Andy, you can share with me where we've kind of been thus far in the call.
Okay, first we were talking about our first stereotype was African-American men being unreliable. And that's what we were just discussing with Miss Ophelia. And then I also had went on to them becoming animalistic and hypersexual, sex being the first thing that, you know, we know that it's on their mind, but the first thing that really, you know, is coming out of their mouth these days without even getting to know you or, you know, having some discretion in waiting or being, you know, discreet in the matter.
Is this where I say I agree or disagree?
I mean, you know, if you have anything that you would like to, you know, input on that, you know, we would love to hear what you have to say, you know, and then we can go to our next topic, unless you know, what are ready for the next one.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of really piggyback off that, interesting, I was just kind of, I've been discussing this a lot lately, and I think with respect to being hypersexual, I don't know if black men or any, you know, well, I'd say I don't know if they're any different from anybody else. I just think as a society, we have just put ourselves in a place where that is at the forefront because our values have really gone away. You know, we have really, you know, I find that women are often talking about competing with other women and things of that nature. And men, frankly, don't have to wait. So perhaps, you know, traditionally, you know, I look at people like my parents, for instance, you know, men, you know, there was certain value, there was certain respect, there was certain restraint, and there was certain discipline that those men had. They valued all the traits in a really great woman. And so therefore, they took their time. Right now, in a culture of people, you could look on Twitter and any other social medium, you know, there'll be women talking about, you know, I want to thank God who's ahead of my life, but in their avatar picture, they're bent over with, you know, the crack of their tail showing, you know. So, you know, at the end of the day, for as many women that have values that could keep a brother kind of on track, there are just too many women willing to give it up like yesterday for them to, as you know, as sexual creatures, men just by and large want it easy, and you know what? They can get it easy. So I say that is kind of true, because even when men know better, if they don't have to do better, that is, you know, going to be a challenge for us. You know what I'm saying? So I think that can very well be true in a lot of cases. Even when they know better, they don't always have to do better because of the options that are out there.
So do you feel that it's acceptable for them to, you know, forget about the respectable ones, the ones that are not bending over and not giving any type of signal that, you know, hey, you can have it easy? you know, you can have it easy here. You know, come talk to me like that. Like you would, well, you know, talk to somebody who said, you know, thank God who's ahead of my life, but, you know, you're turned around looking over your shoulder with your butt hanging out on your picture.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're walking around, you know, wearing very provocative clothing. But what about the women who are not doing that and we still get the same, we're not getting any respect, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you might get respect. You just might be alone. I mean, I'm someone who gets respect, and I'm also a single woman. And I would think that I'm relatively attractive, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, the whole thing, getting back to your original point, your original question about is it acceptable? Absolutely, it's not acceptable. You know, I would hate to think that that would be what my nephew would be seeking in a woman. Or I would hate to think that would be anybody that's near and dear to me would be seeking. But I'll tell you this. I'll give you a really good example of something that happened to me. I met someone in my early 20s that was kind of, you know, I'd say kind of like a homie lover friend, if you will, you know, when I was open to having that type of arrangement, if you will. But for me, I've never really been with anybody that I didn't have a connection with that I didn't really genuinely care about. But this person pursued me. And in our more adult life, he said, you know, remember back when? Now, this is a man, let me just preface this, with a lot of options. He has a lot of options. You know, he's well-known. And he's very handsome, and he's very wealthy. So he has a lot of options. But at the end of the day, I remember he said to me, you remember when I used to just pursue you? He said, I was just so after you. I was so after you. I just can't believe some of the stuff that I used to do to try and get your attention. He said, had I met you now, I would have never did that. And it was just very interesting because that was really what his experiences were about. When he was closer to 22, 23, 24, you know, he hadn't really seen the world. He hadn't seen what money, if you will, or affluence or access would give him. And then once that happened, you know, you have the white woman component. You have the Asian woman component. And you have just women that are throwing it like a quarterback, you know. So at the end of the day, they can respect you because they know the type of woman your mama would want you to have. But when it's coming at such a pace, but they don't have to work for it. I'd like to think that my black men specifically, and that's my focus, so that's why I'll speak to, I'd like to think that they have more value and more discipline. But when it comes to that other head, they're not thinking about that. You know, a man has to make a specific decision as to what kind of man he wants to be and what he wants to have in his life. And by and large, there are a lot of men that are just like, look, we have just too many other options to sit here and look, wait for a woman who's holding on to her stuff like a Jordan rookie card. You know what I'm saying? They
right.
don't have to.
Right.
And that's just the reality.
The
women have to make the same decision. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very true. It's not even a stereotype.
You know, it's happening more so, you know, in this generation. You know, back in the day, it wasn't like that. You know, on an underground level, yes, but not as it is today. So, you know, that's why we wanted to cover that as one of our top 10 stereotypes of the black man.
Yeah, but, you know, deeply tied to that is, yeah, deeply tied to that, though, is our culture and our pride in our culture. And I don't want to turn this into a race thing, so I'm not going to do that. But that's deeply tied to that is our culture. The things, when I look back at the prices my parents and people before them paid just for basic human rights, there was a pride thing, clearly. So they knew struggle. They knew how difficult that life was going to could be, you know. So they just had pride. There was dignity. Now so much of that has gone away. And then also when you enter the fact that back then there weren't as many mixed marriages and those weren't an option because black men would hang from trees from that. I mean, I had an uncle get run out of Michigan State because he was sleeping with the football coach's daughter. And he was told if he ain't out of town, he would die. So at the end of the day, back then you couldn't pull off that white girl mess. You know, being a black man now, it is so acceptable, you know, that they can do it with such frequency and leave black women in the wind. You know, that we're not even, you know, it's so much the option. Because if you're trying to, you know, have that, you know, true traditional relationship, brothers don't have to wait for that.
No, they don't, you know, and that is exactly why, you know, we wanted to hit on that tonight. You know, as one of the stereotypes, and two more that are next in line tie into that. We have the next one, which is there are more black men in jail than in college. Okay. And this is something that has been occurring more frequently as well. And, you know, why do we have this stereotype out there? You know, why is it that more of our men are willing to take the easy route or take risks that are illegal versus educating themselves, you know, in a way where they can further their life on a positive note? You know, what's so hard about, well, it is hard, but it's not as hard as it was back in the day. You know, our ancestors had to pave the way. They worked hard just to make a living, you know, just to survive and to take care of their family. And then now it's like the easy way out is the good way out, the best way out. Do we have any callers that would like to speak on that today, Andy?
In just a moment. I know the phone lines are just out of control right now. It's lit up like traffic at Christmas time. And this is incredible. I want to go to the blog room and get over and just bring this to your attention also, Ms. Oldman, because they're sounding off in the chat room as well. We have Ms. TT who sounds off, and she says, since when is an interracial couple acceptable, typical black person, because it appears that sisters are complaining about it constantly. So, and that was just something that wanted to be brought up. For those of you all who don't know, we are in the chat room. The men are in the chat room. There are some ladies in the chat room as well. Back to the phone lines. And actually, someone else said, and this is also Tiana as well, saying that they're tired of women bringing it up like it's not an issue because they have the same freedom as men does. And I think that's a really touchy subject right there, but... Oh, it is what it is, ladies. It is what it is. But, you know, Ms. Omel, I'd like for you to address that if you don't mind, and then we'll go ahead and get to the phone line because we have a caller who's been dying, anxiously waiting to get on the line. So I'm going to turn it back over to you. Hello? Omel Brown, do I lose you? Hello? Maybe she's thinking about it, ladies and gentlemen, or maybe we got just a bad connection. Ms. Oatmeal, are you there? Just one moment. Ladies and gentlemen, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend. Was is spelled with a Z. I want Ms. Oatmeal to kind of pick us back up a little bit. I know we have just lost a little bit of a signal right there. Ms. Oatmeal, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes, we had some phone issues. Sorry about that. So I don't know what happened there. But if you can tell me what the blogger said in the chat room, I'm sorry, the phone line started too static and we lost each other for a second. So.
Oh, no, not a problem.
Okay.
The problem is we've had someone to say in the chat room, Miss Tiana has said that since Ben is an interracial couple, quote-unquote, acceptable to the typical black person because she hears sisters complaining about it constantly. That was a pretty intense question that she brought up in the chat room, and wanted to know if you would address that before you move on to the next particular stereotype about the black man. Fellas, ladies, I know I'm learning a lot tonight. I've been pacing back and forth. I've been a little wild up. At the same time, I'm really learning, absorbing, and I'm taking this with an open mind and an open ear as well. I suggest you do the same.
Okay. So she wanted me to expound on the women that are, you know, highly irritated by our black men being in interracial relationships?
I believe so. You know, if she wants to word that another way, you know, please address that. But I think that's where she's going with that particular question right there. And once you address, you know, we have another caller that wants to chime in.
Well, I mean, truly, you know, I think in an open mind. So, I mean, it does happen, but I don't see it happening as okay, you know, because, you know, everybody across the board, because the sisters aren't acting right or, you know, he's had a bad experience with a sister or because he's, you know, so to, quote unquote, has made it and wants a sister on his arm, that's definitely something that doesn't go across the board. I think more so the media has blown it up more than it being a true factor to everyone. I know that I've heard some males say, okay, yeah, you know, I've wanted to talk to, you know, a white girl per se, or, you know, somebody Hispanic, just to see, you know, just to see how it is, you know, to experience the way they are in their culture and their background. And then they come back and say, or they come back and marry a sister, and they'll tell you that they feel that they're more manipulative and sneaky than the sisters are. It's just that the sisters are just very outspoken and tell you straight up and up front, and they don't have hidden agendas, you know. So, I mean, you look at I know it may be a terrible example, but, you know, you look at your O.J. and Nicole Simpson type situations. You look at your Tiger Woods, and I don't even know the name of his wife scenario. But, I mean, all those marriages and those relationships don't work out. And it shouldn't really be on your – it shouldn't be a race factor, but it should be if you are able to relate to their culture. Because just as well as he's marrying, you know, outside of his race, she's marrying into another race, and they're going to have to be connected to one another, or they're going to have to change, or they're going to have to disconnect from the rest of their family and society. So, I mean, more so you see interracial relationships, you know, on the West Coast, Not too much down south. You see it more prevalently, but not as much as you see it in your environments where there are multi-races. And someone who specifically dates out of their race, that is their specific, you know, choice. And, yeah, I think they have a problem with their culture and their background. Something that they saw that they didn't like, and they're thinking in a closed mind way, or maybe they weren't raised up around their culture. Maybe they were raised somewhere else. And so they became a product of their environment, even though it's not the same color of their skin. You know, someone that was raised in a Caucasian neighborhood, and he's African American, and he doesn't know anything about his culture, but that his parents are black. But all his friends and all his girlfriends growing up were white. So who do you expect him to relate to? Do we say that he's just going toward, you know, going for the white females, or that's who he's used to?
Wow. Right? Okay, good. What are the other stereotypes? I know the men are listening, and for the ladies who want to chime in tonight, 646-727-3279 is the call-in number. When you're ready to get on the line and talk to Ms. Oatmeal, press option 1 on your phone, on your BlackBerries. Let us know you're ready to chime on. And Ms. Oatmeal, would you like to go to the next stereotype, or shall we bring on another caller?
Yes, I'm going to go on to the next stereotype. This is going to be a good one. They don't like to work. And when we say they don't like to work, you know, like we have spoke on already and touched on a little bit with some of our previous callers and our previous topics, you know, back in the day, you know, men worked hard, very hard. You know, they paved the way. You know, our ancestors paved the way. They wouldn't have anything or nothing at all, wouldn't be able to hold down their families with what they had back then, you know, offered to them or what they had accessible to them if they didn't work hard. You know, you wouldn't have nothing at all if you did not work hard. So you had to be creative in your thoughts of, you know, working. You couldn't just sit around. You had to work. And these days, you know, I've heard several men, even on the Blog Talk Radio show, say that, you know, women are in so many positions of power that they're taking all the jobs. And that is such a huge excuse. It's ridiculous. You know, have a hustle mind, have a hustle heart. That's what it's about. You know, because things are more accessible and easy for us as a race and, you know, in our culture now than it had been ever before. So that's a bunch of hogwash. You know, there are opportunities out there. There may not be the opportunity that you want immediately, but you have to do what you don't want to do sometimes so you can be successful and you can achieve. It's not going to happen sitting in front of the Xbox. It's not going to happen, you know, not seeking to do different things, not seeking out trades, not seeking to, you know, invest so you can have more, not seeking to, you know, build a foundation. So if you have to throw papers at 4 a.m., if you have to wash cars at 5 o'clock, and then if you have to go work at the gas station or UPS or FedEx at 11, do what you have to do. There's no excuses because opportunity is out there for everybody. So to hear, you know, our African-American males say that there's no job, that the females are taking all the jobs, they don't know what to do, it's an excuse. And it's a sad stereotype that, you know, exists and I don't have any sympathy for, and I know a lot of females that don't have any sympathy for it because they're doing it. They're doing what they have to do to survive. You know, they have that hustle mind, all legal hustles. They know if they don't do it, they won't have, they can't provide, you know, and they can't build a foundation for themselves if they're single and don't know when, you know, their prince is going to come. So you have to live your life.
Okay. Shall we go ahead and get a caller on the line?
Sure.
And bring them on. 646-727-3279. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. She's been waiting very eagerly, calling out of the Motor City. Cold in Dallas, and I know it's cold up in the D. Nikki's on the line. I know she's been waiting patiently. Nikki, are you there?
Hey, what's up, Andy?
How you doing, sweetheart? Welcome back to the happy hour.
I am absolutely fabulous.
Well, ladies, this has been an outstanding show. For those of you who are just chiming in, we're talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black men. And as a black man, I must say that it's kind of hard to bite my tongue and let the ladies, you know, decipher what's going on, but I feel this is very necessary to hear. The men can understand how we're being viewed, how we're being seen, and what direction we need to take after tonight to either make those changes or live in those stereotypes. So, Nikki, you and Miss Oatmeal kind of elaborate and talk to us a little bit about what's been going on. Nikki, have you heard what Miss Oatmeal has been saying?
Yeah, I actually, it was just a late day for me at work, so I was rushing. I heard a little bit about the not being reliable and a little bit about the animalistic sexual behavior. So those were the two I was able to actually listen on to in detail. I didn't, what was after that? Because I didn't hear the ones after that.
After that was there are more black men in jail than in college. And then we just briefly on the stereotype of they don't like to work.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to tackle the they don't like to work. You know, I can't really say whether yay or nay. I've never had a man in my life that didn't have a job. If he didn't have a job, he had a hustle. So now I do know of some are, quite honestly, some family members who don't work. It's not that they don't want to work. They just don't work. I don't even know if there's an effort being put into it. But I will say they are younger than me, meaning they're in their maybe mid to late 20s. And a lot of that, unfortunately, came via the parenting, single-parent household and, you know, my aunts, their mothers, basically doing everything for them. You know, I have one cousin who is actually in a relationship, and he lives with a young lady who she gets up every day and goes to work. He does absolutely nothing. So you know, in regards to a man not, you know, working, in my opinion, that only falls on the parenting or lack thereof. You cannot pacify a boy and expect him to turn into a man. It's just not going to happen. If he doesn't have responsibilities from the time he's damn near birthed out the womb up until the time he leaves your house, he's not going to have any, you know, by the time he's an adult. And I don't necessarily think it's a stereotype. It has some truth to it. Again, pretty much applicable to the generation that they come from. Because, again, my dad always worked. Grandfather, even my grandfather was paralyzed from the waist down, but he figured out how to fix radios and went into electronics. Always had a job. So, you know, the whole thing with them, you know, not working or not wanting to work, again, that lead kind of comes from the woman. Because what type of woman would deal with the man who can't even provide? I didn't say the best, just simply provide. And that to me speaks to a completely different issue. But, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a stereotype. It does hold some truth.
Well, considering, you know, like we're talking about, you know, stereotypes and, you know, situations that are occurring today. Because we know definitely back in the day things were different. You know, I've never dated a man that, you know, didn't work as well. But, you know, we know, you know, of some scenarios and some situations of even if, say, they had a job and they lost their job and couldn't figure out for the life of them what to do next, or chose to, I'm not going to get my hands dirty because that's not what I want to do. You know, that type of scenario versus, you know, hey, if I have to throw papers, if I have to, you know, go work at the gas station, and if I have to work at UPS at night, this is what I'm going to do to make it happen until something better comes along. You know, there seems like there's this long waiting period of, I refuse to do this. I want to do that. You know, I want to be a professional basketball player, but I haven't got picked up yet, so I don't know what I'm going to do. You know?
Yeah, I don't even know if you can consider yourself a man if you don't work, quite honestly. I don't even know how the two could go in the same sentence. You know, I don't work because I have a disability that prevents me from being able to execute a certain type of job, or I don't work because I don't even think as a man you can utter those words out of your mouth and still expect to carry the title of a man. Men work. That it's in them. So when you know, if you don't, I don't even know what you consider. Maybe we need to come up with another term. Because men work. So without, now I'm not saying that, I know that some people are in a recession and, you know, the unemployment rate is like 9.2% right now. It's one thing to be employable, but you're unemployed. I get that. I understand that. But to not even be employable, I don't even know if you can carry the title of man. It's kind of contradictory.
Wow.
So we say that, but, you know, they probably would beg to differ because, you know,
can't beg to differ. You can go to the word
right
on that one. You will work by the sweat of your brow. Now, if you have issue with
right
that, you can take it up with God on Judgment Day because he all charged man, not us. So that
right
they can take the onus on that one off of us. But that working thing, yeah, you might want to holler at God about that one on, you know, Judgment Day.
Well, ladies, I have two that want to chime in on the line, and they're both out of the state of Texas. I have one from Dallas, Texas, and one from Houston, Texas. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to go ahead and bring one on the line each and let them make their point and ask their question, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
The phone
sure
lines are hot, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we're talking about the top 10 stereotypes of black men, and it's going down with the realness tonight, ladies and gentlemen. 646 727-3279 is the call-in number. I have Michelle here in the DFW who wants to talk about it. Michelle, how you doing?
I'm great. Hi, Oatmeal. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Glad you called in, Michelle.
Yeah, I want to really speak on the issue of black men not wanting to work. I agree wholeheartedly with what she was saying, the last caller, but I think that a lot of it is black men don't like to be challenged. I think that for so many years and over so many generations, they've seen money come into their households very easily through selling drugs or through illegal activity. And the same thing with, you know, education. Sometimes even I'm a teacher, and when it becomes too challenging for the boys in the classroom, they shut down. They want you to feed them answers just like they're probably their single parent homes, their moms or their grandmothers or whoever is raising them. They want everything to be done for them. They don't like the challenge. They're afraid of being challenged, and I'm not sure if it's a fear or if it's a fear of failure. But that's really what I think it is. It's just I think there's so much that they don't want to work, but they just don't want the challenge is what frustrates them. That's the way I feel about it.
Now, do you think, let me ask you this question, Michelle, do you think that that can go into, you know, their adulthood, even a man not wanting to be challenged because he's fearful?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. And I think that a lot of times that has a lot to do with why they, and I could be wrong, but why they seek relationships with other races too. Because black women for so many years, well, throughout, you know, throughout time, we are pretty much the ones who are in the head of the household, even though the man is supposed to be the head, but the woman pretty much runs the house. And I think that with the men, especially with those who grew up in single parent homes, usually single mothers, that so much is done for them, the cooking, the washing, the making the bed. Women, what my pastor said time and time again is single mothers, they pretty much raise their daughters and they love on their boys. They treat the boys like they're their man. They cook for them, they wash for them, do everything for them, but they teach the girls how to wash dishes and how to clean the house. And so I think that the guys, if it's pretty much not done for them, then they don't want any part of it. And not personally, it hasn't been my experience. I too have never had a man who didn't have a job. But I see boys now in my classroom who will grow up to be those men who are going to rely on someone else to always do it for them. Or they'll do it the easiest way that they can.
Okay.
Oh, can I comment on that?
Sure.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing? I actually am what you would call, I guess, a single parent, even though I don't subscribe to that definition. I'm a woman that's single that happens to be a mother. But in regards to the way, and I do have a son, ironically, so the way you, and I've heard that term too, is, you know, women love their, you know, they raise their daughters and they love their sons. But I think the challenge of that is that if there is not an active participant in that boy's life, then you're almost, you know, defeated from jump because a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. So I'm just blessed enough that my son's father is extremely active in his life, and he sees them 5-6 days out of 7. And I know that that is not, you know, may not be the you know, circumstances for everyone. However, I mean, that goes back again to almost holding your own self accountable about who you lay down with. I mean, if he wasn't jumped from the beginning, he damn sure is probably not even going to make a good father. So got to put a little bit of the onus on us in regards to them, you know, the way they, how they interact and how they grow up. And them not wanting to be challenged, that's a tough, I don't know, that's a hard one to swallow, even as I'm a female and I'm kind of cringing when I heard it. I don't know if it's that they just don't want to be challenged or if they just are not, you know, maybe getting what they actually need. On all fronts, whether it be the education system or, you know, the wife or, you know, the girlfriend or the family support. I don't think it's that they don't want to be challenged. There are a myriad of things that can go along with that, but Andy, that's like a topic for, you know, a couple of weeks from now. That's a big one.
I'll say. trust.
And
I'm going to have to
agree with Nikki. You know, I have a friend who, she raises her son, and there are many of male figures in his life, and I see him at the age of 9, you know, already carrying strength. You know, he feels that he is the man of the household. He is very smart, and he is active, and he's just an awesome child already.
Mm-hmm.
You see him, that he's going to grow and be a great man, you know, and she is a woman who is raising her son on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, these stereotypes don't apply to everybody. You know,
generalization.
Generalization. We're going to dissect, coming up this week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dissect the Willie Lynch letter itself on the Facebook page if you want to follow us there. But, ladies, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines. We have someone in Houston, Texas. Basarar is on the line and wants to chime in, if you don't mind, ladies. Let's bring Miss Laverne on the line. Is she there? Laverne, you ready to talk to us? You on the online happy hour tonight?
Yes. How you doing?
Hello, Laverne. How are you?
Hey, Laverne. Hi.
Hello. How are you all tonight?
We're doing just fine.
I want to pretty much touch upon why the man don't want to work. And I think I'm going to go back to, I think Ophelia had said employable, but they're not employed. And she felt that that was a problem. It is. And the part where I think you said, Oatmeal, you said that by them being challenged. Maybe. But the thing is, why should they, I mean, why be employed? Number one, if you're in a relationship and the woman is doing everything, the woman is paying all the bills, she's taking care of all the business, she buying him every pair of Jordans that come out, plus the unit to go with it. What is it for him to do? He don't have to do nothing. I feel that as women, we have to put a stop to that because a man is going to do as much as us women let them do. So, and that goes back to him being reliable. What he got to be reliable for if we sitting there doing everything? He's not about to go get no job. He comfortable. So they take more of a, if you will, a baby boy syndrome. And that's what they're used to, that's what they're comfortable with, and that's what they will continue to do if we continue to let them do that. That's my take on it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that let's just go ahead and put a disclaimer on it, and let's separate men from whatever term we're going to create for non-men. No man lives off of a woman, period, point blank. If you have a situation where there's a dude in your household and you're getting up every day going to work and, you know, you're holding down the fort, you don't really have a man in your house. You have someone that resembles a man in the physical. But, again, men work. So any woman who gives a man that gives him that pass, she's got to check herself. You got to check yourself. And maybe it's happening more times than not. I mean, at the end of the day, if you have, nobody wants to get up and go to a job they absolutely hate. But to me, based on what I've been told by the 19 uncles and the father and the two grandfathers that I have, you don't really have a choice because as a man, you're charged with that. So I don't even understand. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the concept of a man not working. The baby boy syndrome, I understand it. I got a couple of them in my family. But again, it's not even a viable option. How do you not work as a man? The two are damn near synonymous. You can't separate one from the other. So if a woman, again, has a man or what appears to be a man, you know, in the physical in her house that's not even, you know, carrying his own, you got to check yourself on that one. Got to check. And if you're a man and all you're worried about is a pair of Jordans and when your woman is bringing home her check, that's called a case of bitch-assness. That is not even, yeah, no.
Yeah, and what we want to do is stay on. We're talking about the men, okay? They talked about the women last week, and it was strictly about the women. And we're going to make it strictly about the men. So if we say one of the top 10 stereotypes is that they're unreliable, we saying they're unreliable. We're not going to pick out, okay, well, if a female allows him to lean on him, we're not going there. We want him to be responsible for his actions. That is what our stereotypes are about. them being responsible for their actions, just as if you tuned in last week, we had to be responsible for our actions and the stereotypes that they've laid out on the line and they've talked about the women. So we want to stay on that track. We don't want to make it a, okay, it's the woman's fault, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there can be all types of different situations. But we're just laying it out on the line. We're coming with the real stereotype, and that's what we want to stay on. We want to stay on that line. So it's about the men, their stereotype. So if he's unreliable, if he's, you know, animalistic and hypersexual, you know, if there are more black men in jail than in college, if they don't like to work, you know, and we're going to move on to the next one. And, you know, everything that we talked about, we touched on all of it. We want to stick to their stereotype and stick it on them. Not in a bad way, you know, but we want to stay on that track. So we want to go on to the next stereotype, which is, you know, the game. You know, black men running game, thinking that their words can change the mind of a woman, but they fail in their actions. You know, the false hopes, false wishes, the things that they say that they're going to do, but they don't do. Do we have anybody that would like to speak on that tonight?
No, I think the callers are just, they're all sitting in there, they're patiently waiting and observing. If you don't mind, Michelle is still on the line and she's holding. I wonder if Michelle has any more questions for the lady tonight.
Did you say if I had a question?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have a question. I just had one statement in relation, and I know that we're sticking to the male stereotypes, but for anyone who is a single mother, that I think that the first key to the woman being more involved in him growing up to be a man is just if you teach him responsibility, that's the first step. I mean, if he's responsible, then he'll be an awesome man. And that's all I really wanted to say on that.
And, you know, Michelle, that is so true. You know, the only thing that the mother can teach her son is to be responsible, you know, but she can't teach him how to be a man. You know, there's only certain, you know, areas that she can help him with, you know, because she's a woman and she knows, you know, what she can read about in the Bible, or she knows what she's seen from her uncles and, you know, maybe her brother or what have you, but she cannot teach him how to be a man, you know. She only knows, she only really can teach, you know, her daughter, if she has a daughter, how to be a woman. But there are certain things, you know, that he's going to be missing. There's certain things that, you know, a man, that man's touch, you know, that he would need. And maybe he can receive it from, you know, a grandfather, you know, or an uncle or a cousin. Not saying that he can't, but, you know, it's nothing like having, you know, his father's touch. But she can definitely teach him to be responsible and to seek that knowledge to be a man.
Ladies, this is incredible tonight. Tonight's topic is off the charts. Miss Oatmeal Brown is coming with the Realness 101. Nikki's on the line representing the D. This is intense conversation. I know that the brothers and the men are out there so up. I don't know if you're taking this with a grain of salt or a lump of coal right now, brothers, but trust and believe, I have a few things on my mind that need to be addressed as we continue to go back in here. So, topic, we're about to come toward the downside of the show, and I want to just say for all of you all who have conversation and who have comments that you'd like to make, if you're not following us in the blog right now, you can also go to the page at blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, spelling was with a Z. You can follow us. Click on the link there. It's put there for you to follow us on Facebook, become a friend, follow us each and every week, pretty much throughout the week. You're going to see some different situations and things that we're going to be talking about that are always going to be of hot topics that we're going to be addressing to you, from you, and for you. So Miss Oatmeal is doing her thing tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the chat room is out of control. We in here tripping out. For those of you all who just came into the chat room, I want to say welcome. So I want the ladies to go ahead and move forward on the remaining. I don't even know how many we got left. Maybe one, maybe two?
Oh, we have a few left, but the ones that we do have left, we kind of touched bases on them already. You know, we touched on lacks goals and ambition. You know, that kind of ties in with, you know, not wanting to work. You know, we talked about wanting to be, you know, the head and the lead, but, you know, needing to basically show those responsibilities and have those actions behind it. You know, you can be a man, but you definitely, like Nikki said, you know, you're really not if you're not working, if you're not, you know, laying the foundation, if you're not beating the pavement, if you're not beating your chest, you know, not just beating it, but, you know, everybody hearing and seeing it roar with you, you know, doing what you need to do and being responsible, you know, in all of your actions. So we definitely, you know, touched on basically more than one of our stereotypes that we have listed here in some of our other conversations. So I want to go ahead and get to this last one and wrap it up, you know, before we end tonight's show. Because I think this one is very, very important. And I really, we really want to put this on the men's minds tonight, because relationships are like one of our top things that, you know, us as women discuss, you know, on a frequent, everyday, regular basis almost. You know, relationships is one of our number one topics. And the last stereotype that I want to bring up tonight is that, you know, our men are lacking the knowledge of real love, true unconditional love. And, you know, it's getting caught up with and mixed up with lust. You know, they're getting caught up in the lust, the looks, you know, the sex, and the package. They're looking at what looks good on the resume and not getting to know the females for who they really are. You know, really getting to know, you know, this person that they claim to be in love with. Is it love or is it lust? Because you'll wait, you know, you'll never get a chance to get to know anybody totally, but you won't pressure them. You won't force them to be in these relationships with you. You know, you'll wait and you'll get to know them and see if this is somebody that you can really see yourself with and not feel that you've met the love of your life, you know, based on the resume, and then turn around and get upset if she turns out to be, you know, the bitch from hell or somebody that you said, you know, you didn't think she was, but did you actually give it time? Did you fall in love? Did you recognize what love really was, or was it lust, or is it lust? And that's something that I really want and hope that the, you know, ladies chime in tonight and, you know, speak their piece on.
Wow, I would say that in order to recognize some unconditional love, you have to actually know what it is and have the definition for it. So with so many men just kind of all over the place doing their own thing, there is nothing in today's culture that dictates that or even gives an example of unconditional love. I can think of very few things. And if a person is really not in tune, and let me just back up, I don't even think most men know what they're looking for. They know what looks good. They know what looks good. They know what they're, you know, physically or, you know, visually attracted to. They have that part down to a science. But do they know what they are actually looking for? Absolutely not. Now,
right.
You may have a few one-offs, but could they actually, you know, verbally or articulate to you what they are actually looking for in a woman, in a spouse? And please don't give me the surface BS about, you know, the cooking, and which I understand is important. I'm not discounting that. But, you know, don't give me the surface BS. You know, black women don't cook. black women, you always have something to say. Black women is like, don't give me that. Give me what you want and what you need, and then let me figure out if I can be that. But, you know, if you were to ask a few of them, that's what you're going to get. You know, the cooking, the taking care of the house, the being quiet and knowing your role and knowing your place. If you were to ask, you know, just in a random conversation, so what are you looking for? Right, that's what you get hit with, the So I don't even think they could actually articulate to us what they are actually looking for. And then when we bring what we have to offer to the table, oh, then it's an issue. Well, bro, if you would have told me what you were looking for, I could have told you, you know, 2 months ago that I wasn't that.
Right. So that, you know, meaning that they lack the knowledge of, you know, recognizing, you know, what real love really is, you know, because some of them feel like if they feel that they found that diamond in the rough or they found their match, they're busy trying to coerce or, you know, make it happen, okay, instead of actually realizing the truth. Yeah, and I know women do that too, you know, mm-hmm. but we're talking about men because men do it as well. We both do it. But, you know, we know what the best thing is to do is to just wait and see and take your time. You know, no, you don't have to go slow as a snail, but you definitely need to take your time, you know.
It's called courting.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called courting. It's called getting to actually know me. It's called trying to figure out, or not even figure out. Actually, if you just do a lot of observing, if you observe a person from an authentic place instead of what you imagine them looking like, oh, say in a compromising position, if you actually just observe and, you know, listen a little bit, you can figure out, you know, who and what she is all about. You know, her, you know, a woman can say one thing and do something totally different. So you as a man, I would think that you'd say, hey, you know, like we said earlier, you know, she's got the, you know, God is the head of my life, but you have the whole, you know, club pose turned around looking backwards, like totally contradictory. But I don't know, again, you know, well, we oftentimes know which head they're thinking with, but I just don't understand. When does it get to a point where, you know, you figure out as a grown man that it's time to, you know, think with the head that has the brain in it, the one on your shoulders, and start making real decisions about the type of women you actually have in your life or interact with?
Well, that's a very good question to ask, ladies. And I'm glad that... I'm glad that we really had this show, and the ladies have the opportunity to talk about what they see, what they've experienced, and what they know from the stereotypes of the black man. And as a black man, you know, I may not be able to speak for everybody, but there's a good few hands that can be raised to share my pigment and my skin tone that I know that, you know, they are quite dependable. You know, we've seen some that don't fit the mold, you know, but when that telephone rings and that brother, can you spare a dime? Can you help me out? There is a brother and a good man that's going to stand in and step up. That's why we call ourselves brothers. You know, setting the standard, you know, I think that's something that we need to really get back at doing. You know, we did step away from the stereotype of men not having role models. And I think a lot of that has been pertained to following the athletic ability as opposed to following the mental capability. And a lot of people have gotten away from that simply because that's not what's glorified in the media. Now, when we refer to stereotypes, we are referring to things that images of people, what they see. You know, if you paint a picture of a man the way he looks, then he'll always become less of what he's going to be. But if you paint the picture of a man what he should be, then generally he'll become what he ought to be, even more than that, so to speak, because men need to know, you know, from the women, this is how you're portrayed, brothers. This is how you're portrayed, men. So what are you going to do about it? What decisions are going to be made since they, you know, they say that some of us have struggled making decisions on what we want to be? What decisions are we going to make? Are we going to make the decision to stand up and stand out? Or are we going to make the decision to be like, you know what, she's right, lean back on the couch and wait for the next Miller Lite? You know, sometimes it doesn't work like that. And they kind of, You know, they were poking and prodding fellas about the issue of men not liking to work. Well, you know, that could stand true for quite a lot of people, especially in these economic times. You know, the job situation may not be what it is, and we don't know the ins and outs. We don't know the whole situation, but just knowing that a man does like to be challenged, keep that in mind, that we're hunters, we're chasers. You know, if it's too easy, we're going to stay away from it. If it doesn't challenge us, then we're not going to pursue it. You know, there's challenge with dope dealers every day because I got to make my money without getting caught, and that's a challenge. I'm not sticking up for the dope dealer, but I can understand, I can respect that hustle. So you also look at the brother with the white collar shirt, the nice crisp tie that's in corporate America. He's waiting for that challenge because he's already got two strikes against him. So there are men that want to work. Now, what type of work and what type of opportunity they may be selective at, you know, that may be something totally up to them. Because I can promise you, I'm not about to apply for a position, you know, changing oil at somebody's car dealership unless push comes to shove. That's just not my forte. It's not going to be my choice. Somebody else is going to be paid for that. I'd rather find other means of making my income to suffice for the life and the lifestyle that I'd like to have. And you're also going to look at the focus of about, you know, men being in jail more than being in college. That's a true issue, you know, because the stereotypes are out there that the thug is what's happening. And we've emulated it, and we mock that style, and we mock that image to a point to where jail is a requirement, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, it kind of goes into the male psyche that, you know, I must be hard, I must be hardcore, so being hardcore must relate to jail, must relate to crime and punishment and escaping the law and getting over the man. Not so. Not so. Not so at all. I mean, that stereotype is something that really kind of sits pretty heavy inside someone's spirit, because you can see a lot of our family members that we don't like to talk about in those situations. So, you know, hearing some of these real interesting topics, ladies, I know y'all are doing your thing and y'all have raised the bar and keeping the show real. I appreciate that and I respect all that we're doing. We've only got just a few moments. Now, you know, in a minute or less, you know, Miss Oatmeal, Miss Nikki, just kind of talk to us a little bit about in depth what we should all learn from this show. In a minute or less, if you can do that.
Okay, well, this is Oatmeal. I'll go ahead and shoot mine out first. I just want the men to know that these things weren't, like I disclosed in the beginning when we first started, these things aren't put out there to bash men. These are things that are put out there because there are strong concerns of the women, you know, good women, not women with these overly extended high standards. These are just everyday things that are occurring that, you know, we just want all the men to be cognizant of. Even if you aren't those, you know, this type of man, well, maybe one of your friends are, maybe you can, you know, pull them over to the side, help them out. You know, we're just trying to come together as a people, you know, get back on one accord, you know, get back on the standards, the females and the males, you know, so we can come together and, you know, be reflections of one another in a positive light, you know, but step our game up, you know, get off all this easy, you know, willy-nilly stuff, but really step our game up, you know, into becoming positive examples, both men and women.
Okay. Well, very good. I like to appreciate that. I know we're running out of time. And this is something that I just want to portray. This has been a great show. I thank the ladies for chiming in and for calling in tonight. I want to say, as we wrap up today's show, I want to thank the panel for their insight. I want to thank the fantastic folks who have been blogging in the chat room and those who have been on following us on Facebook as well. Always, you make the show what it is. And ladies and gentlemen, if you had a good time tonight and you got some good information out this show, just do us a favor. Tell three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another hot topic here in Black History Month, talking about the extinction of the black family. On behalf of myself, Andy Brown, the Realness 101, Miss Oatmeal Brown, thank you, Miss Nikki. Thank you for the bloggers in the chat room. Good night to my family. Go mob to my frat. And we gone. Holla out.